And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, of course, we have him back, Major Tim Sheehan. He is the Delaware State Coordinator for our Salvation Army Delaware. And welcome back.
Good morning, Laura. Good morning, Delaware. How are we?
We're good. And we're here to congratulate you on this past week was Salvation Army Week. 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower declared this past week National Salvation Army Week. And was it good for you? Did you celebrate? Did you have balloons and party and cake?
Well, we celebrated. We had a good time. We had some, we kicked it off right by having the federal delegation from Delaware in our building celebrating a grant that we received from them. So it's not a bad deal to celebrate with Senator Carper and Senator Coons and Congresswoman Blunt Rochester. We had a good time. We had a great Monday.
And they brought you some money for a very vital program that you do.
Yeah, they brought us some cash to help us with our anti-human trafficking program and our shelter and just trying to make some upgrades and keep folks safe or safer than what we've been able to in the past. So just some upgrades there and some funding, which we are definitely most appreciative of, just to be able to help the folks as they come through. So it was a good time.
I invite you on so often that I always assume that everybody knows the Salvation Army story. And we do. We know the history of the story. But a lot of us, again, I reiterate, we think about the Salvation Army, again, as services for people facing addiction, senior citizen centers, and youth after-school programs and music lessons. And yet you really have this amazing holistic wraparound programming that looks at all of us in this state, everybody. And so how do you want to start knocking that down into chewable pieces?
Well, you hit it right on the head with that we're there to serve the holistic person based on what their need is and what programs and relationships do we have in place in order to meet that. Because as we all know, we're one of the, if not the largest social service agency in the country. And so each community is able to determine, you know, what the Salvation Army needs to be helping with and what their needs are. So, you know, as folks come through the door, it's a disaster for them. It's a life emergency for them. And we just try to help them through that period of time. It may be they need shelter, so we're able to help with that. It may be they need a box of groceries, or we'll help with that. Utility assistance. And as you said, things like substance abuse with our adult rehabilitation centers and folks who donate to those family stores are helping in that program. So it really is focused on the center of what people need. And if it's something that we don't do directly, we've got great relationships up and down the state with other organizations who may be able to better fit that need. So it is, as you said, the holistic approach to helping people as they come through our door, depending on what their need is. And we can do it as the Salvation Army, or if we're referring them and working in partnership with another organization.
Well, you just described yourself as the state's largest social service organization outside of the actual state. Well, you're the state. I never give you the right title. I always call you the Grand Favat. And you're actually the Delaware State Coordinator. Does Delaware have its own distinct issues beyond COVID? And we're going to talk about the ramifications of COVID on our economy and how we're living. But Delaware, does it have unique issues?
It has very unique issues, and each county has very unique issues that we try to address every day. You know, when you just look at the span of the state and the vastness of each county and the difference, you know, when we go downstate, we go from the very beautiful beach side of things to a very agricultural side on the other end. So it is very unique in what its needs are. You know, you go from the very urban issues that are there to some rural issues that are there. But I would say to you, the common denominator is that we're all impacted suddenly by the need for food, the need for utility assistance, for the basics. So while we have this very diverse setting here in the state and in each county, we do have some very strong similarities in the basic needs of life to make it through each day. So again, what is needed in Newcastle County is not the same as what's needed in Sussex County or in Kent County. So that flexibility to be able to provide for folks. And, you know, while we run the shelter program in Newcastle County, it really is here for the state, but obviously it's heavily influenced by Newcastle County. Participation with food pantries and receiving donated products from some places in Sussex County, which is then put through, you know, our food pantry and distributed out. There's a feeding, there's a noontime feeding that happens Tuesday through Thursdays in Sussex County. We don't do that in Kent and or in Newcastle County. I'm not saying it's not needed, but there are other agencies doing it. So we won't duplicate that effort. We'll look to see how we can support it. So you're right. We are all Delawareans, but we are unique in each county, and inside of each county also so has some uniqueness and some diversity. But bottom line is we're all similar when it comes to what our needs might be.
Well, you touched on it. You mentioned the basics of food and shelter, utilities and rent right now. And COVID did knock us for a real loop.
Yeah, COVID definitely. Yeah, I think we are all still trying to recover, not only in with our physical needs, but mentally, and just trying to get back to the normal, or what new normal will look like after COVID. But folks are still struggling because, you know, we go from COVID to an economic issue here that we're all dealing with. So we're just trying to, again, fill the gaps where we can. When folks suddenly have to pay more for utilities or gasoline, you got to make that tough decision. Do I buy groceries, or, you know, am I going to put the gas in the tank so I can get back and forth to work? And so, again, just to be able to fill in that gap is kind of where we are. And again, we're beginning to see more requests because folks are having to make those hard decisions, or in a lot of cases are trying to catch up from COVID, and we're able to provide some assistance. And you know, I have seen a couple of cases where there's been some significant need for utility assistance, and it becomes a partner with other agencies in order to meet the needs of those folks. So some folks have some pretty substantial utility bills, and it's not anything that any one agency can do on its own. And obviously we're working with the utility company to make sure that we're getting the lights on, or keeping the lights on. And again, partnering with other agencies, because some of these utility requests are fairly large.
We've talked about this before, that so many Delawareans, even in the best of time when the economy is booming, live paycheck to paycheck. And the ability to just save a little reserve is beyond their means. And then one lousy thing, maybe a back due bill for utilities or a car repair, and there knocks out the entire, you know, the whole house of cards falls down.
Paycheck to paycheck, and if that comes up one day short, it's a major emergency for that individual or that family. And that's usually when, you know, we're getting the call. Folks, I wouldn't necessarily use the word panic, but they're in that, what do I do next? You know, there is this sudden realization that, you know, my utility could be turned off tomorrow, or I open the refrigerator door or open the cabinet door, and there's only two cans of this, or, you know, only this left in the fridge. So to be able to meet that need. And now when I say that, that's up and down the county. There are food pantries in all three locations. In the state, each county has a food pantry. So to be able to say to that person, come on in, you're going to be okay, we'll get through this. And not only just give them what they need right then, but to look at the bigger picture to see, how else can we help you get to the point where you're able to save $10 or $20 or $25 or something to that effect? And folks really, you know, having another set of eyes look at their situation. Some folks are very private, very proudful, and don't want to hear that. Just fix my need right now. But it gives the opportunity for our case management staff, our social services staff, to be able to talk with them, to work with them, and try to help them, not only in that immediate emergency, you know, we've got this kind of thing, but let's look going forward. What else can we do going forward that may be able to be helpful? And there are some folks who come in that, you know, have some very unique needs. And so to be able to find resources to help them with those is also something that we do, so that we can eliminate that panic and try to help them you know, get through that moment crisis, because, you know, it doesn't take a hurricane for everybody to have a disaster. Families are having disasters every day because of the situation they find themselves in. And you hit it right on the head. It could be something simple. I can tell you, just across the state, inside the Salvation Army, you know, we kept right on going through what I will call the height of COVID, providing for people and keeping each other safe. And over the last few months, though, you know, we've had staff left and right who suddenly have come down with COVID. And now we're inside, you know, trying to go, okay, let's cover this with this, let's cover this with this, so that we can keep meeting the needs of people, which it just struck me kind of strange that we were able to do all that at the height of COVID. And then I guess when we sort of all relax, for lack of a better term, you know, we have key staff that suddenly come up with COVID. So we inside also had to jump into crisis management and figure out, now how do we cover those so we keep meeting the needs of people.
So it hit you too.
Yes, it did. It hit me as well. I say to folks, I've had 3 jabs in COVID, so I think my antibodies are up pretty good at the moment, you know. So
I made it two years and 4 months, and I finally got you know, yeah. Oversharing here. But anyway, now, so you're always in this crisis mode. Do you have programming for, say, it's a family that is struggling, but they are still making it through? They are still managing that paycheck to paycheck. They haven't had the accident yet, or the car, or the sudden daycare bill, or somebody loses a few hours. Do you get families in before you're playing cleanup?
I would say to you, most families, no. It's not until they hit that crisis or about to hit that crisis. There are some folks who realize that, this has just happened. And it may have been something that happened a month ago, and we thought we were okay. So there isn't anyone who really comes in beforehand, but they're right at the edge and suddenly realize, hey, we have a problem. So that's when we're able to do some really intensive case management with those individuals and families to help them, so that they don't fall into, now I need a bed, you know, now I need your services for sheltering. Now I need, there are some that we get to that point where we can do a little preventative from the, you know, getting basically now homeless, if you will. But the majority of the time, folks coming in are in that crisis mode. There are those who have come through. Now, let's go the other way. There are those who've come through seeking shelter that we've been able to work with. And this year, we were fortunate to receive a grant for rapid rehousing and help folks get the past issues taken care of, and then work with them to get housing, permanent housing, affordable permanent housing. And we don't get them set up and then help them, you know, financially with that and then leave them. No, we're with them for quite a while to help them get through and to become stable and understand with good case management how you don't let that happen again. So there are folks who come in that are on the edge that we're able to help and stay out of that crisis mode. There are other folks who come in who are in that crisis that we're able then to get, because of the funding through the Rapid Rehousing Program, into safe, affordable, stable housing, and then help them, you know, get the house set up and being able to then work with them through a year or more, whatever it takes, to get these folks to remain stable and fun, as the saying used to go, fending for themselves, but providing the resources to help them do that. And not just material resources, but here are other organizations and agencies that, you know, we would suggest, these folks will help you with budgeting. This group will help you with this, so that the folks can be able to maintain their own once they're in their own place.
And this is everything from therapy to address traumas, addiction, job training as well, parenting skills. It's the whole buffet of holistic social work.
And as I said, we don't do it alone. You know, we would, I don't know, there's any agency out there right now who could do it all for everyone. I like to say it takes the village, and we are just one of the huts in the village, but we're in the hut with everyone else, and being able to utilize the resources that are out there to keep folks as you said, you know, getting job training, getting barriers removed that's keeping them from keeping their employment, whatever that may be. Childcare. We have a childcare center, so let's get you enrolled in that and get the child enrolled in that. Let's remove that barrier, and whatever the barriers may be there. And some of it may be just trying to help them, you know, find employment. You said it, trauma, substance abuse, those kind of things, being able to work with them. Again, as much as they want the information to be made known to us, and then linking them with good partners who are able to provide that one-on-one in-depth healing so that we can heal the whole person.
Hey, if you are just joining us, this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, our Delaware State Coordinator for the Salvation Army Delaware, Major Tim Sheehan. And if you would like more information about the Salvation Army here, go to SalvationArmyDelaware.org. That's SalvationArmyDelaware.org. That's the place to go if you need help, and that's the place to go if you can offer help. And that includes in-kind, if it includes money, volunteer hours. Go to SalvationArmyDelaware.org. Here's where I brag on you. Coming off of, and again, congratulations, we just completed the National Salvation Army Week, the U.S. Recognizing the work of the Salvation Army. $25 will help provide a kid in need a safe place to stay. 82 cents of every dollar is going directly to these initiatives, by the way, so that $50 donation will feed 39 hungry Delawareans. $100 will provide 3 nights of shelter for someone in need. And that someone in need could be someone who has escaped a domestic abuse situation, or someone whose home was declared uninhabitable or burnt to the ground. It could be somebody who's walked in the door with absolutely nothing. And those people obviously want to put their faith in you. But those others that you mentioned, and we're going to lead into your work with the restoration program. If a family comes in there and they're in crisis mode and you can't get them into all the services because of, well, it's a privacy issue, or I don't, you know, right. You got to build trust and establish a relationship to get in. Here you've got men and women in particular that are at the absolute lowest point they can possibly fall into. Human trafficking, and it's more common. It touches us more than we even realize. And we don't even realize how far it goes when we talk about human trafficking. We think only about sex workers, but this could be landscaping people, people who are vulnerable because of language or legal status. It goes on and on. And I know here you partner with a lot of agencies on this programming, but you're one of the leaders in it.
You know, William Booth, who is the founder of the Salvation Army, William and Catherine Booth, back in the 1800s, gave a speech where it's all centered around, I'll fight for those who can't fight for themselves. And there's a line in that speech that he gave that said, while there's one poor lost girl among the streets, I'll fight. And that put into our DNA, if you will, this anti-human trafficking program. And we in Delaware at the Salvation Army are the officially recognized 26th program of the Salvation Army across the country that has a program that, you're right, basically now is centered around sex trafficking of those over 18 years old. We work very closely with another organization that is responding to, you know, juvenile trafficking, but the labor trafficking is a whole different piece of pie that we're just beginning to see. Folks are getting a little braver, if you will, or are figuring out what is happening now and are reaching out for, you know, assistance. And there are some similarities. And you're right, there's a language barrier. There's a legal question that comes into play. There's just a lot of things. So working closely with all of our partners in law enforcement who have just been tremendous. You know, I described it the other day as a hand-in-glove effort because we are able to provide assistance for the survivors. This gives law enforcement the opportunity to focus 100% on what they need to be doing with those who are abusing and using people, which is really, really sad to be talking about in these days and times, but it happens. So yeah, we're one of those in the village and who are taking on, working closely. We have found here recently with a number of folks who have been trafficked that we've been working closely with our Philadelphia and Baltimore offices, who also have very strong anti-human trafficking programs, because folks are running up and down I-95 or 495 or 295 or 9 or 13 and suddenly finding themselves in situations that they need to get out of. So working close, as I say, with our partners in law enforcement and the other Salvation Armies on either end of the state, you know, we've been able to have an impact, a positive impact. A recent story very quickly was a situation just a couple weeks ago where there was a couple of young ladies who were taken out of a sexual trafficking situation. And the one individual looked at our staff and said, and gave her a nickname of Beautiful, because she just felt no one had ever loved her with no other intent before, like the staff was giving her. And again, they were partner agencies with us, and she was referring to all of them. But one of our staff got a text message the other day from her just thanking her. Now, we had to translate it because it was in Mandarin, but just thanking her for, you know, just showing love and care for her and getting her out of that situation and getting her reunited with family. So in the midst of all that, there are people, and there are people who find themselves in situations that they didn't want to be in, but found themselves in and now are grateful. So I say that to say we are grateful to those who support us with their gifts, the immediate gifts. Maybe there's interested in an estate or a planned gift somewhere down the road. And again, we can handle all that. But because of that, we're able to do the work that we do and impact people's lives. So those are the stories in those moments where I'm like, what am I doing? That when I hear that, it reminds me why we do what we do and why people support the Salvation Army and help us provide the services to folks.
Getting somebody off the street is easy, but getting them to stay beyond a cup of coffee and a donut or getting some clean clothes or a shower, getting them to stay to join the support system and network is something totally different.
It takes the relationship and the trust that you spoke of earlier, and that happens the moment they come through the door. Everyone who comes to the door is treated with respect and dignity because they are someone, and they are someone's child or someone's grandchild, you know, they're a parent or whatever. So to recognize them in that way and then begin to be able to build that relationship and trust makes those what appear to be obstacles initially fall by the wayside because that trust is built. And we really see that in our adult rehabilitation center when folks come in that are battling substance abuse, building that trust, building that relationship, understanding that, yes, we do care for them, and then helping them see what the potential is again in their lives. Builds that whole relationship, and those barriers, those self-imposed barriers, or the walls that are built up, are able then to be able to come down, because folks are then willing to allow you to help them, which is what it comes down to.
Want to talk about other programming?
So, as you just said, we're coming out of National Salvation Army Week. We just finished that up. It's great because, you know, on June 3rd, which is a Friday, is Donut Day. And the Salvation Army is actually credited with bringing the donut to the States because of the girls in the trenches during the World War who were able to help the military personnel being able to make up some donut. Now, you can get the original recipe off a Salvation Army website, our national website. Have a good cup of coffee because, man, they were dry. So on June 3rd, when you bite into that tasting sweet treat known as a donut. Think of the Salvation Army because, as I said, we are the ones who are credited with bringing the donut to the U.S., which is kind of interesting. That's a day I try to avoid because there's so many sweets roaming around. It's tough just to eat one. So as we come out of National Salvation Army Week and are looking forward to Donut Day, and then you know later on this summer there are children from Delaware who will attend the Salvation Army camp in Waymark, Pennsylvania for a week at a time and have a great time swimming, horseback riding, you know, all the things that kids do at camp. We'll be taking kids out of Delaware up to camp later on this summer. So it's an exciting summer. We've got some personnel changes. There'll be new officers down in Sussex Seaford the first part of July. There'll be new officers joining us here in Wilmington as well in the first part of July to continue on the ministry of the Salvation Army and the services that we provide to our communities.
So what about your senior services? How are you returning to pre-COVID conditions? Are you open yet, or what's the prediction there?
No, unfortunately, our center is not open yet, again, because COVID, we just can't seem to shake COVID. Sadly, a number of our members were passed away during the COVID time. Some of them, you know, had some real health conditions, and COVID just was the final health issue that made it even worse. So we've not reopened, but we do on a monthly basis. Well, let me back up. We have a staff person who weekly is reaching out to those. And then monthly, we're delivering food boxes to the seniors, which then gives us the chance to check on them, see how they're doing, and making sure that they're getting what they need. What we have learned is that the senior group is a very resilient group, and they've managed to link in with each other. A few of them have found other centers closer to where they were that are smaller groups. They've been able to reopen to be able to give them that socialization they need. So we continue to stay in contact. Again, we continue to still provide some basic things to them and then help them through with whatever they need. But at this point, we just have too many seniors, which is, I guess, a good thing. But the space isn't big enough to keep everybody safe. So we're still doing it. I think we've learned the word virtually very well. We're still doing it in a virtual kind of way and making sure that they're all safe and have what they need.
Well, how do we interact with you? How can we support your mission and get involved or participate in programming that you have? Maybe it is the music classes or the daycare, et cetera. How do we interact with you?
The best place to go is the SalvationArmyDelaware.org, and you'll find a number of ways there that folks can interact, volunteering. I know this is only May, but obviously we're already looking toward the holidays and the Christmas season. So there's opportunity there. There is some opportunity to come in and volunteer, maybe doing some reading things with the kids in our child care program. Of course, there's a lot of regulations there that folks also have to adhere to. But there's also opportunity through our food pantry to help with social services folks, or as you said, getting with our music folks to help kids learn music, because we all know musicians are better students. So there's just a myriad of ways that we could try to link up what your interest is with what we have available. And for anyone who's looking to make a monetary gift, again, SalvationArmyDelaware.org, or if you're interested in a planned gift somewhere down the road, we have experts in that field who'd be happy to talk to you and provide the information on what Salvation Army has available, so that you know you continue to keep the legacy of the Salvation Army alive through your giving. So there that's the way to do it. And I would be in a lot of trouble if I didn't say thank you to those who support us on a daily basis. Because of your support, we're able to do what we do. So it takes us in order to meet the needs of the individuals who come through our doors.
Well, I was going to say parting words here.
I think my parting words is have a great donut on June 3rd. And think of the Salvation Army and Donut Day. Thank you for your ongoing support. Thank you, Delaware, for your support of the Salvation Army here. And we hope you have a safe and wonderful summer. And we're still going to be busy helping people as we're all enjoying the beach or the mountains. Know that your Salvation Army here in Delaware will still be serving our friends and neighbors up and down the state.
And of course, Salvation Army Delaware, all spelled out, salvationarmydelaware.org is where you go to get that donut recipe. Well, that's on the national site, but you can link to it. And you get information about all of the programming and how you can support them, how you can receive aid, and how you can help give back. It's all at salvationarmydelaware.org. My guest today, Major Tim Sheehan, the Delaware State Coordinator for our Salvation Army Delaware. Again, congratulations on Salvation Army Week last week, and we're looking forward to June the 3rd, Donut Day. Major Tim, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.